Turn to Joshua chapter 23. And if you're new at this, there's a Bible next to you in the chair. And that's still pretty much toward the beginning. That's about the sixth book in the Bible. You'll see it after Deuteronomy. You want Joshua chapter 23. And in Joshua chapter 23, verses 1 to 3, listen to what God says in His Word. First, let me pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You that You speak to us through Your Word, that it is living, Lord. Right now, prepare our hearts, Lord. Open every one of our hearts to what You are going to say through Your Word and through Your message today. Lord, get me out of the way. Speak Your Word to our hearts. You've told us, You've said that it will not return to You void. It will accomplish the purpose You have for it. So, Lord, accomplish Your purpose in each of our lives and help us to obey the Word that You speak to us today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 23, verses 1 to 3, God says this in His Word. After a long time had passed, and this is Joshua's farewell to his leaders. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you." You and I need to recognize that today in our lives as believers. It's the Lord your God who has fought for you, who has done these things through you, and that will fight for you. And then chapter 24, verse 15. The covenant is renewed at Shechem. And in verse 15, God tells us this in His Word. Joshua was saying this, there again, old and telling the people goodbye. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Well, there's only one of two choices today. You're either serving the Lord, you're either repenting every day, living surrendered to Jesus and following Him, or some other god. And that's something you've put in His place. It's one or the other. So choose today, each day, who will you serve? Will you follow Jesus or anything else other than Him? That's another god. All right, and then chapter 1 of Judges, moving into Judges. Chapter 1, listen to these first three verses. Israel's fighting the remaining Canaanites. "After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, 'Who will be the first to go up and fight for us against the Canaanites?'" Notice they inquired of the Lord. They went to the Lord. They didn't just step out and say, "All right, let's do the next thing." No, it says that they asked the Lord. And we need to live our lives like that. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, "The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you.'" How many of you know that as we sin, we become slaves to our consequences and the sins? And a lot of times God will let us suffer those consequences. We become slaves to those things because we've disobeyed Him. Turn to Him. Turn to Jesus. And then in our New Testament readings in Acts chapter 19, and if you're new at this, that's the last third of the Bible is the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then look at Acts chapter 19. And you can just listen if you're not there yet. In verse 4 and 5, God tells us this. Paul is in Ephesus. "Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus." There's God's plan. We need to be sharing with everybody around us. And then the people around us, we'll see them repent, put their faith in Jesus, and then they need to get baptized right up here. And We're about to do that very soon with a gentleman. And then chapter 20, verse 20 and 21. God tells us this. Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders, and in chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, says this, "You know that I have not hesitated," Paul speaking, "I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." And he's saying he's taught from house to house. When I was visiting Desi Dillard this past Friday, I was talking to one of her family members, and we were talking about the false teachings and different things. And she was saying, you know, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're good about going door to door, and they're sharing the faith. And she was saying, we need to do more of that. And amen to that. I was amen to that. However, we're doing it, aren't we? We do it. You come here at 3:45 and head out with us if you hadn't come yet. We've been sent out. Come and go with us. And then in chapter in the Psalms, we already read from Psalm 108. Turn there. We're about to dive down there a little deeper. Psalm 108. And in Psalm 109, God tells us this. O God, whom I praise, do not remain silent, for wicked and deceitful men have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues, with words of hatred. They surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. And then in Psalm chapter 8, turn there in Psalm chapter 8, and let's dive down here. In Psalm chapter 8. I don't know about you, but I like to win. I like to win. I don't like to lose. And Christian and I are having a hard time with this right now because I'm coaching baseball. And I'm coaching Christian's team, and we've been losing some lately. But it's just some. It's just lately. It's just temporary. But I don't like it, and we lost yesterday, and I came home, and I was sitting in my car, and I got on that phone and got to the league rosters, and I found out, I looked at the wins and all that, and I looked at the schedule, and I thought, you know, I thought, I know these boys, we can win all the rest of the games, and, you know, we'll be 9-6, and, you know, I was just wanting some wins. That's all it's about, right? Not the kids and them having fun, it's just about winning, right? No. No, I teach the opposite usually. But anyway, I like to win. I like to win. But they're doing great, and they're a fantastic team. And they almost beat the best team in the league this past Thursday night. It was very close. I almost beat them. But baseball's one little thing, and maybe you've got the things that you like to win at in life, but that is nothing compared to winning eternally and spiritually, and as a believer, living a life of winning, finishing the race strong, and living a life not defeated in the Christian life, but living the Christian life as a winner, winning constantly. That's what I want to do, and that's where it's important. That's the only place it really, really matters that you win. And so look with me at Psalm 108, and we'll see that we can worship and win. Worship and win. Listen to Psalm 108. A psalm, it's a song, a psalm of David. And in verse 1, God begins this way with His Word. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from His sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter, Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I toss my sandal. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God? You who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy. For the help of man is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and He will trample down our enemies. Worship and win. We see that here in this psalm, that we can worship and win. And so first of all, notice in these first five verses, worship the Lord. That's God's call to us in these first five verses. Worship the Lord. Look at that. In verse 1, my heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. You can do that. You were just doing that. As Mike led us, you were just doing that. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. Those are some instruments. Awake. I will awaken the dawn. I will awaken the dawn. That's a... Wow, you know, he's saying, but while it's still dark, I'm going to get up and worship the Lord, and I'm going to wake the dawn. I'm going to be singing to the Lord as that sun comes up. And you can do that. You can worship the Lord individually. I love to do that. I love to wake up early and worship the Lord. Jesus did it. You remember in Mark chapter 1, it said very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Worship the Lord. I love to do that. I'm an early riser, and I love to get up and before it's daylight and worship the Lord. Worship Him individually. And then also worship Him corporately. Or worship Him together. That's what you're doing right here. You are worshiping the Lord together. We need to gather together anytime we have opportunity and worship Him together. You've come right now. You can come again at 5 tonight and worship together. You can come at 6 o'clock for that prayer time and worship together on Wednesday. And worship together. You can come at 9 o'clock and meet with your group of 12, just like Jesus had His, your Bible study, and worship with them at 9 o'clock. We need to worship individually and corporately. And the Bible says that Jesus often, in the individually part, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Worship in the Lord. We need to do that. And then, as we worship the Lord, we need to call to Him for help. We see this in verses 6 through 11. And also, one more thing in 1 through 5, use that to worship the Lord. Since this message has been on my heart, I've been praising the Lord that way lately. Just, Lord, I will sing to You. I praise You. I will sing among the nations, you know, whether I'm in China or as our brother David's in Korea or, you know, wherever I am, I'm going to be singing to You, Lord. And no matter who hears it, among the nations, I will sing of You among all the peoples. I'll be out and about singing about You, Lord. I don't care who hears it. At Walmart, you know, whatever. This is His heart. I will worship the Lord among all people. I'll sing among all peoples. Verse 4. And then here's some ways you can just worship Him. Look at verse 4 and 5. For great is Your love. Tell Him. Lord, great is Your love. Higher than the heavens. His love is infinite for You. I will worship You. Great is Your love. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted. You're telling Him that. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. And let Your glory be over all the earth. Right there in those verses, you can worship the Lord with God's Word. Reading that back to Him, praising Him through that. And so worship individually. Worship the Lord corporately. And then next, call to Him for help. After you've been worshiping Him, then call to Him for help. You know, get your focus on Him first. Worship Him. And then, yeah, you can turn back to yourself and you can look at your own needs and call to Him for help. That's what we see in verses 6 through 11. Save us! You know, he focused on the Lord, worshiped Him. Now he's saying, save us and help us with Your right hand, that those You love may be delivered. Then he says in verse 7, God has spoken from His sanctuary. And so we need to, after we've worshiped Him, we need to call to Him for help. We need to go to Him with whatever it is, whatever our need, whatever's going on in our lives, and go to Him and say that, Lord, save me from this. Verse 6, save me from this. Help me with this, Lord. Help us with this by Your right hand. And then in verse 7, as we ask Him for help, listen for Him. Listen for His voice. Listen for Him. Verse 7, God has spoken from His sanctuary. And then God begins to speak. So as you worship the Lord, and then you call to Him for help, listen to Him. Be listening to Him. What is He telling you? Hear Him all around you. Hear His voice all around you. You know, I love Acts chapter 13. That's been in our readings not too long ago. And in Acts chapter 13, what happened? The church was together and they were praying and fasting together. It says they were worshiping the Lord and fasting together. And then the Holy Spirit said, send out for me, Saul and Barnabas. You know, and then God spoke. When you worship alone and you get up early before the dawn and you get this scripture surfing and you spend time with the Lord and you listen, and He's going to speak to you as you worship, and He's going to say, and you share your needs with Him, and He's going to speak. He's going to let you know in your heart, do this. Here's what to do. As we get together as His church, we need to be listening. That's why I love having these share times, you know, Wednesday night and Sunday night. You know, we hold hands in that circle, and anybody have anything to share? And we need to be listening. What's the Holy Spirit saying to the church? What's He telling us? And I was at a great prayer meeting with a bunch of pastors, all denominations, all over Montgomery this past Wednesday. And it was just an intense time of prayer. And this was on my heart. So I was just listening. I was listening. Hey, God, what are You saying to all these churches? What's the Holy Spirit saying? And I got a bunch of notes on what I believe God's saying. And what are You saying to me? Listen as you worship Him, and then you go to Him for your needs. Listen for Him. And be watching. Be listening. Be waiting for Him to answer His prayers. Christian had one of the friends from the baseball team spend the night, Friday night, before the game. And as we prayed together, I think it was that night or maybe in the next morning or on the way to the game or something. Sometime me, Christian, and his friend were praying together. And we were praying about the game or whatever. And one of them or both of them or something prayed for home runs. Yeah, I pray that we get a home, that I get a home run, you know. And this other boy, his friend, got one in the game. So after the game, I was like, you prayed for that home run, didn't you? Yeah, you know, Jesus, praise Jesus. You see, he could notice that. He prayed, he called to the Lord for help, and then he saw what God did. We need to be listening. You know, we could have totally missed that and thought, oh, great job, home run. You know, just forget about the prayer part, you know. Yeah, no. God wants us to listen. What is He doing? What is He saying? Constantly, all the time, consistently be listening to Him. So worship the Lord. Call to Him for help in verses 6 through 11. And then turn from worthless help and gain the victory. That's what we see in verse 12 and 13. Turn from worthless help and gain the victory. You see, in verse 12 and 13, it says this, give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and we will trample down our enemies. So once you worship the Lord, whatever's going on in your life, once you spend that time worshiping the Lord, and then you call to Him for help, and you're worshiping individually, you're worshiping corporately, and you're calling to Him for help for whatever it is, and you're listening to Him, and you're listening, then turn from worthless help and gain the victory. The worthless help we see here in verse 12. Give us aid against the enemy. First, you know, they're going to the true help, God. Give us aid against the enemy. The enemy is whatever in your life. It's not necessarily a person. It's whatever in your life is holding you back from God's best and what He wants and His will. That's the enemy. Give us aid. And so you call to the Lord. You go to Him for help. Give us aid against the enemy. For the help of man is worthless. And so I need to turn. You need to turn from worthless help. I need to turn from the help of myself and others depending on myself and other people. I need to turn from worthless help and gain the victory. Does that mean you don't ever go to any people for help? No, of course not. God uses people. You go to Him, you depend on Him, and He'll lead you to people. He'll have you, go to this person, talk to her, pray with this person, whatever. But turn from worthless help, depending on yourself, self-help, and others, and gain the victory. Human help, the help of people. God says right here that that is worthless. That is worthless. And so, in verse 13, we see the true help. With God, we will gain the victory. And He will trample down our enemies. I love this saying. One time I was on a mission trip in Venezuela, and through the devotional book I was reading, Our Daily Bread, just God gave me this saying. I don't know if it was in there or if I made up part of it or what, but God gave me this from this devotional. I was reading about David and Goliath, small David, trying to defeat this giant. But you see, the giant had spear and javelin and sword, and David said, "You come at me with those things." He said, "But I come at you." David's weapon was the living God. It was a little bit bigger, a little stronger weapon. David was saying, "I come at you in the name of this God that you have been taunting." And that was David's weapon. And so I love this. The underdog plus Almighty God equals victory. You see, that 9-foot giant, he had all these weapons and he was a warrior. But David, who was the underdog, he had Almighty God on his side. That was his weapon. And so the underdog plus Almighty God equals victory. Worship and win. Yes, you are the underdog. Human help, you can't help yourself. Human help is worthless. But God is your help. He is your strength. With God, we will gain the victory, and He will trample down our enemies. The underdog plus Almighty God equals victory. And you know, this is what God is doing even in our salvation. Even in our salvation. You know, maybe today you've worshiped the Lord, you've looked at Him, you've seen the Lord, you're worshiping, you're praising Him. And then when you look back to yourself and you realize, I have sin in my life, I'm a sinner. And the penalty, the Bible says the penalty is death and hell, it's separation from God forever. And then you turn from worthless help and you gain the victory. And you know, maybe you've been trying to deal with your own sin. Maybe you've been trying to be good enough or go to church enough or read the Bible enough, or you fill in the blank. If you're trying, if there's something in your human effort and you're trying to be right with God and you're trying to deal with your sin somehow and you're trying to say, "God, would you accept me? I'm trying real hard. Lord, I'm trying real hard." You see, that's the worthless help that you need to turn from. The word turn means repent. It's a deep change of mind. You need to turn away from yourself trying to do anything to please God and to get there and to be forgiven of your sins and get to heaven. You turn completely from yourself. Turn from the worthless help and gain the victory. You turn to Him and you say, "God, I could never make it to heaven. I could never do anything. I'm just a sinner, and I turn from myself and my efforts and I turn to You. Will You defeat my enemy of sin and death and hell? Will You do?" And yeah, He already did it all for you. He came in the person of Jesus and He defeated it all for you. And He's raised from the dead. And so even in our salvation, it's the same. And then in the Christian life, we live it. We live it the same. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You so much, Lord, for what You have done, and thank You that You came for us to save us from our sins. Lord, help each of us here today, Lord, to worship You. Lord, all the time with whatever we're facing, Lord, whatever problem, whatever's going on, Lord, help us to turn to You and worship You. And Lord, if we need to use these verses, whatever, help us to worship You individually. Help us to wake up the sun if we need to and worship in You, Lord, spending that time with You just like You did, Jesus. Help us to worship You corporately and come as much as possible being with Your people just like they met in the temple courts daily when the church was beginning, Lord. And then, Lord, help us to call to You for help with whatever it is, whatever's going on. Let us call to You and listen to You. Listen for what You're saying, Lord. And help us to turn from worthless help, turn from ourselves and the help of others and going to anybody else. And Lord, let us turn to You and gain the victory. Help us, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, who realizes that they need You, Lord, that they know that the penalty of death and hell is upon them. If there's anyone that needs to call out to You today and turn from themselves and their own worthless human help, and they need to turn to You, their Savior Jesus, help them right now, Lord, to just call to You and say, Jesus, I repent. I turn, I'm a sinner. Thank You for dying for all my sins and being raised from the dead. I turn to Your help, not mine. I trust You to save me from my sins. Come into my life. Lord, I give my life to You. Help me to follow You. And Lord, for all of us who do believe, and we already are believers, Lord, help us to continually live that way, Lord, turning from the worthless help of ourselves and others and turning to You and trusting in You and depending on You. Help us in these things, Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Mike is going to come and lead us in one last song. And if God has spoken something to you, maybe you've come to the Lord for that ultimate help to be saved from your sins. You've repented of your sins and you've turned to Him to save you from your sins and give you eternal life. As Mike leads us in this song, you come out, step out of your seat and come and share that. Share that right here. I won't embarrass you or anything like that. I won't make you say anything. I'll be your mouthpiece. You just share with me what's going on. What is God doing in your heart? Maybe God's telling you to join this church, and that's the burden that He's put on your heart. Will you come as Mike leads us in this song? Maybe there's something else. Maybe you need to pray at this altar, and you come as Mike leads us. You can pray at this altar. You can get at your knees at your seat. I grew up Catholic. I'm sorry we don't have the kneeler things for you, but you can get on your knees on the floor right here and pray there at your seat. But you just pray. You don't have to sing if that's what God's leading you to do. Make whatever decision He's calling you to make.